Good to be back with you again this evening. Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate you being here tonight. And hope the things that we've got prepared will be beneficial to you. This morning, we mentioned that in order to accomplish the Lord's work, you know, we don't really need these big organizations and through whom to do this work in order to get it accomplished. What we need is great dedication and great sacrifice. And if we're going to accomplish the mission that the Lord has called upon His church, that's what it's going to require. And last week, in our Sunday evening lesson, we talked about personal evangelism. We talked about how that we need not to give up on this. In the past year, we seem to have been a little hindered, and it may be that we haven't been looking for opportunities. I'm speaking for myself. Because of the COVID situation, people may be not as apt to talk with you or for you to go into their home or whatever. And so maybe we have backed off and not as been as zealous in our efforts to share the gospel with others. And so the lesson was designed to encourage us not to give up, not even during COVID, but to continually look for opportunities to share the gospel with other people. We were wanting to rekindle our zeal for personal evangelism. And I want to continue to talk about that tonight. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. And the lesson is designed to encourage us to go out and do personal evangelism, to share the gospel with others. You say, well, then you talked about it last week. Why again this week? We're going to look at it from a different lesson this evening. But repetition helps. Sometimes you hear one lesson and then we kind of forget it. But if it's repeated, maybe even repeated a third time, then we have it etched within our mind. And I want this to be etched in our mind that we have a responsibility with great dedication and great sacrifice to share the gospel with others. And we don't want ever to forget our responsibility, our mission in this area. But here in 2 Kings chapter 7, this is the period of Israel's history known as the Divided Kingdom. At this time, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, had gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. It says in chapter 6 and in verse 24, Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. And as a result of this siege, the city of Samaria experienced a terrible famine. People were starving. Among those who were suffering were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they discussed their plight, and they said, if you notice in verse 4 of chapter 7, they said to one another, if we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall only die. So we're not going to lose anything by just going out to the Syrians. Maybe they will help us live. And so when they went out to the camp of the Syrians, to their surprise, they found the Syrian camp abandoned. The Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, and the noise of horses, and the noise of a great army, and they fled for their lives. They left their belongings behind. And so when the lepers saw this, at first they splurged into their newfound riches. It says in verse 8, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and women hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Well, they were taking this for themselves, silver and gold and clothing and eating whatever they needed. No doubt they were very hungry. But then upon reflection, notice what it says in verse 9 of 2 Kings 7. Then they said to one another, "We're not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." They then go, and they tell the others. And then they come out, and they find that all the Syrians are gone, and they enjoy in the bounty. You know, there are some valuable lessons that we can learn from these four lepers. The title of the lesson is, "This Day is a Day of Good News." And I want to look at three things here. First of all, I want to look at some parallels between the lepers then and ourselves now. Also, I want to look at the consequences of keeping silent when we have good news to share. And also, I want to talk about why some people may be keeping silent today when we have such good news to share. First of all, let's talk about some parallels between then and now. First of all, in each case, there is a famine. Now, then, it was a famine for food, but now it is a famine for the spiritual blessings only God can provide. In Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as a result of sin, we're separated from God. We're doomed to an eternal hell. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." But notice there in verse 63, it says, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Even though there's this great famine, spiritual famine, because of sin, God provides the free gift of salvation. There is good news. But also, in each case, there is an abundance that is freely available. Now then, there was plenty of food in the Assyrian camp. Now there is an abundance of spiritual blessings in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Salvation from sin, the hope of eternal life, all the spiritual blessings that we enjoy, we have in Jesus Christ, and it's available to everyone. Revelation 22, verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." There is the water of life. Water that we can drink, we who are thirsty, and have life, spiritual life. It is available. So in each case, there is abundance freely available. And also, in each case, there are those who found what they needed. Then, it was the four lepers. Now, it is Christians who have experienced the joys of salvation. And that is us. We are like the lepers who were starving, famine because of sin. We found blessings. We found the feast that the Lord has provided, and we are enjoying the blessings of that feast. But then here's where the parallel fails. And that is, the lepers knew what was the right thing to do, and they did it. They shared the good news. But some Christians are like these lepers, and they do tell the good news. They're out sharing the good news with others. You know, the lepers knew that they would be doing wrong by keeping silent. They also believed that punishment would befall them. Some terrible thing would happen to them if they didn't share this good news. So they went to the city and told the good news. And we recognize the importance of sharing this good news. And yes, we realize punishment will come upon us if we do not. And so we share the good news not only because of the consequences of not sharing, but also because we love others and we want others to enjoy the bounty and enjoy what we enjoy in Christ. But there are some who are not like these lepers. Despite it being a day of good news, they remain silent. You know, we would do well to learn from these four lepers. What they said of themselves at first could be true of us. We're not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. As they reason among themselves, they consider the consequences of keeping this good news to themselves. And so they said, if we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. They understood the importance of sharing this good news. Well, have we considered the consequences of keeping silent? Let's talk a little bit about the consequences then of keeping silent when we have such good news to share to others. First of all, I suggest that we fail to keep the Great Commission. You know, Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, gave what is called the Great Commission. And it's great because it's in contrast. The Bible doesn't call it that, but it's in contrast to the Limited Commission when he sent his apostles out just to the lost sheep of the house of Israel before his death. And they were to preach, you know, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, now Jesus has already died, was buried, rose again the third day. And he's about to ascend to sit at the right hand of the Father on high. And he tells them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. In Matthew's account, he says that Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So it's the Great Commission in that it's now to go out to all the world, make disciples of all the nations. Everyone needs to hear this gospel because all are in need of salvation. Someone might say, well, this was given to the apostles. This was not given to me. Well, look at verse 20. Not only were they to go and make disciples, but they were to teach them, that is those that were made disciples, to observe all things that I have commanded you. That would include going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Now I understand we're not in the same position as the apostles. These were ones specially sent forth by Jesus. But we are taught to go and preach the gospel. We all have a responsibility to carry the gospel to the world. I tell you, for just one way to look at this is that this is what my Lord wants. This is what He desires. He wants the gospel to be preached to every creature. And if my Lord desires that, and He's my Lord, that's something I desire. That would be something I would want. And if that's something I desire, what's the end result of that? That is, I'm going to share. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell others about Jesus Christ. I cannot put this off on somebody else. But I understand the Great Commission and what the Lord wants in this Great Commission. And He has given that to us today, the church. And that's not just to full-time preachers of the gospel, that's to all disciples. It's teaching them, the one who's been made disciples, all things that I have commanded you. And so each and every one of us have a responsibility to do what we can to share the gospel then with others. And if I don't, I'm silent, I fail to keep the Great Commission, to carry out my Lord's desire, to do what He desires and what I should desire. I'm failing to fulfill that. And that leads to the next point of as we fail our mission as the people of God. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He says, but you are a chosen generation. Who is? Well, he's writing to the Christians here, but that has application to us. We're a chosen generation. We are part of that group of people. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Notice he says that you may proclaim the praises of Him. The American Standard Version says proclaiming the excellencies of God. This word praises comes from the Greek word orete, which means intrinsic eminence, moral goodness, virtue. And so the purpose for which we have received such a status as chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, is to proclaim or show forth the virtues, the excellencies, the praises of God. And if I'm a part of that group, I am proclaimed, show forth the excellencies of God, all that He has done, who He is, and what He has done for us. That's a mission that God has given His people. And we are a part of that group. You know, we show this forth especially in regard to how God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. What are we proclaiming? Well, we're proclaiming how God did that, how He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. How, as He says to these people, you were once not a people, but are now the people of God. How you had obtained mercy, had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And that's true of all of us, that one time we were in darkness, but we've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We who did not obtain mercy now have obtained mercy. And as we go and proclaim the excellencies, the praises of God, and what He has done to bring that about, so that others may come and become a part of this royal people, this chosen people, chosen generation, these people who are now God's and belong to Him. We fail to fulfill that mission when we do not share the gospel with others. Also, we will answer to God for failing in this mission. And that's the punishment that will come. The four lepers recognize this is not right. Punishment's going to come upon us if we don't share that with others. We need to feel the same thing. If I'm not sharing this with others, if I'm not in some way taking advantage of the opportunities to talk to others about Jesus, I am failing in my mission, and there are consequences. There's punishment. You remember what the Lord said to Ezekiel, the prophet of God, in Ezekiel chapter 3? Notice beginning with verse 16. He says, "Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me." Now, he had a responsibility to warn the house of Israel of sin, of evil, to warn them. That was his responsibility. And it's a responsibility we have, is to share the gospel with others, to bring them to repentance. Notice what he says concerning Ezekiel's responsibility to warn others. Verse 18, "When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. This gives us an indication how God views those who have been given a responsibility to share, to talk to others, to tell them His will, His warning, His word, and then they don't do it. He's going to hold that person accountable for their negligence. Remember, James says in James 4 and verse 17, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." And I know what God's will is for me. I know the good that He wants me to do. And sharing the gospel with others, I don't do it, it is sin. I cannot be saved. I cannot go to heaven. and be in my sin, having committed sin. That means I need to be forgiven. But forgiveness always requires repentance. And so in order for me to be forgiven of this sin, of my negligence, I have to repent of that and seek God's forgiveness, which means I'm going to change. Which means no longer am I not going to tell others, I'm going to start telling others about Jesus. I'm going to start then telling them the good news of salvation in Christ. Well, despite the consequences of keeping silent, there are some in the church who do not tell others about the good news of salvation in Christ. And the question is why? Why is it that we do not share the gospel with others? Well, here are some possibilities. First of all, for some, it may be that they're starving themselves. Now, these are ones who may have experienced the joy of salvation at one time in the past, but they haven't grown. Through negligence, they have failed to grow, and they have forgotten the blessings of the salvation that the Lord gave them. And that can so easily happen, that what God has done for us in the past, we've forgotten about, we don't appreciate. I'm not saying cognitively we have forgotten about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but it doesn't have any effect in my life any longer. It's not what motivates me. It's not what then propels me. Those are not the things that I think about in the decisions that I make in life. I basically have forgotten about what the Lord has done for me. I don't have an appreciation for it, so I live for myself. And that is what happens when we don't grow. We don't allow God's Word. We don't allow the Lord's Supper. We don't allow worship time such as this to energize us and to remind us of what God has done. And we fall away, basically. We may still be attending services of the church, but we are starving. We are still in sin. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9, after he had talked about the things we need to add to our faith, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and so on, he then says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." And that can happen. We become short-sighted. In other words, we're only looking at the here and now, what I can enjoy right now. We're not looking into eternity. We're not looking to the fact one day I'm going to die. We're not thinking about the fact that the Lord's going to come back one day, and it could be tonight. I'm not thinking about those things. I'm thinking about what I want right now. And not only have I lost sight of the future, of what is ahead, I've forgotten what's behind. I have forgotten about what the Lord has done for me and how He saved me from my sins. That may be the reason that some are not sharing the gospel with others. Those who are enjoying the blessings of salvation will want to tell others. Think about David in Psalm 51 when he was seeking God's forgiveness, crying out for cleansing. Notice what he says in verses 12 and 13. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." And then notice verse 13. He says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." And that's what happens when we find cleansing, and we appreciate that cleansing, and we find the joy of salvation. We want to share that with others. Why do we not share it? Because I don't enjoy it. I don't have the joy of salvation. I have forgotten it. But when we do have it, and we are cleansed and appreciate what God has done, then we're going to tell transgressors, teach transgressors God's ways. You remember in John chapter 1, this is when Philip had found Jesus. In verse 43 it says, "And following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip then," what does he do? "He found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him, a of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. And that's what we do when we find Jesus and we recognize what we have found. Well, bring someone else to meet Jesus. Come, see. Come. Let's see who this Jesus is and what He has for us. I'll tell you what He's done for me. And what He then can do for you. Another reason why we may keep silent is it may be out of fear or discouragement that we do not speak. If it's for fear, we need to remember that God does not want us to be fearful. Remember what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. He says, Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Why would we be fearful? Well, in the days of the Timothy, Paul, they could be imprisoned, they could be beaten. We don't have that fear as much. But we do have the fear of being ostracized. We may lose a friend. We may somebody think we're weird. We might even lose our job. But because of being afraid of what others might think about us, I just think how the contrast between here, Timothy might be concerned about this person beating him, taking a whip and beating him, and here we're afraid of what this person might think and what he might say to us. The point is, Paul said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We know what we have. We have the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. We have that which will bring people to the forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternal life. And why would I want to keep from sharing that with him? Yes, he might not receive it. He might not want it. But I'm surely wanting to give him that opportunity. And I'm not going to let the fear of how he may react, how he may respond, to keep me from sharing the gospel with him. You remember what is stated in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, some translations say the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't want to be among the fearful, the cowardly. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul says, And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so here is Paul, who wants to be bold in his preaching. And boldness comes as a result of recognizing what we have in Christ and who He is and being confident of that. We would need prayers. Paul recognized he needed prayers, but he also wanted boldness in order that he might preach the word out without fear. But let's say if it's discouragement, let's remember what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Preaching the gospel to others is doing good. Let us not grow weary in doing this good work. Yeah, a lot of people reject. They reject, they reject, they reject, they reject, they turn against us, we get discouraged. But let's don't grow weary, is what he's saying. Don't lose heart, because we will reap. There is the blessings of eternal salvation if we will remain faithful through it all. And use Jesus as an example. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." With endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You get discouraged at times because of hardships and difficulties as a result of preaching to others. Consider Jesus. Look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. He endured what? The cross. Now, for the joy that was set before him. And what happened when he endured the cross and he despised the shame? It says he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God exalted him. And that's what will happen for us as well. As we, as a result of our endurance, and we remain faithful, and we do it because of the joy that is set before us, and how that we will be raised one day to go and to live with our Lord, to be able to be with him for all eternity. Because of that joy that is set before us, we are to endure. Let Jesus be our example, and not to give up, not to get discouraged, not to allow fear to keep us from preaching the gospel to others. But also for some it may be the idea that it is just too complicated. I think some seem to have the idea that they need a master's degree in interpersonal relationship before they can go out and teach others. Or they need to have 4 years of Bible college and get a degree in Bible before they can go and preach the gospel to others. Well, the fact is, the good news of salvation is fairly simple. It doesn't take a lot to learn it. You've already learned it. You obeyed it. You knew what you did to obey. You knew why. Because of who Jesus is. You saw the evidence that Jesus is the one who is Lord in Christ, because he died, was buried, and rose again the third day. There's evidence for that. And you were convinced of that. You gave your life to Christ. You know what you did to do to be saved. You know what the Bible teaches. Just go tell that to others. Share that with others. You remember what Paul said about the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." What did he preach? "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. In chapter 2 and verse 2, you remember he said, "I did not know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Here's the one who is the Savior. Here's what he did to save you from your sins. And we can share that with others. Now, I understand that when you're talking with various ones who have various questions, and you may not know all the answers to those questions, but you can go and find the answers. Someone may have some questions about evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. Go look. You know the evidence. You may not know how to present that, but there's material. It doesn't take much to look at material that will give you some things in mind, some very simple ideas of how we can be confident that this Jesus who lived upon this earth about 2,000 years ago, and we know that he lived, and that he died, and that he rose again the third day. There's evidence for the resurrection. We have witnesses, and they're credible witnesses. We can learn about that. It doesn't take long to learn about just simple things that are the evidence of who Jesus was. And if he is the Christ, then believe it. When you convince someone then the only logical response to that is, yes, he's Lord and Savior. He is whom he claimed to be. And you encourage them to do that. And this is the only way that we can be saved. You read through the book of Acts, chapters 2, and the conversion of the Jews on the day of Pentecost, they learned the truth and obeyed in one day. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, he and his household learned the truth and obeyed in one day. It doesn't take long to learn the truth about Christ, and we can know what is the truth. We can share it with others. It doesn't require a master's degree in the Bible before we then share that with others. Follow the words of Peter. Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's the first. Make sure the Lord is sanctified, set apart in your heart. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts and then be ready. Study, be ready to give an answer to those who would ask you about your hope and what you believe. And also follow the words of Paul in Colossians 4 verses 2 through 6. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. So, pray for God to open doors. Ask others to pray for you, that God would open doors. Opportunities to speak. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Pray that God will help you to make it manifest as you ought to speak. Pray or ask others to pray for you. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer each one. Love people, love God, love the truth, and with that love for their souls, then share it with them. And I'll tell you, you'll think about, how would I want it to be presented to me? How can I bring this person to Jesus? And in love, your words being with grace, seasoned with salt, telling them about not trying to win an argument to prove you're right and they're wrong, but trying to bring someone to Jesus Christ. And pray about that, that God will help you to present it in the proper manner and to have a proper heart. These are the things that we can do. Well, this is a day of good news. The gospel is good news of salvation. And the question is, are we going to be like the four lepers to share that good news? Are we going to not be like them? Let us go and tell a world that is starving in sin about the feast that God offers through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the lesson is designed for us to rekindle our zeal, where we may have lost some of it, to rekindle our zeal, to have great dedication and sacrifice, to be willing to share the gospel with others. We come in contact with a lot of people, maybe not as much now during COVID as we did, but we do. And so let's look for the opportunities. Invite them to our services. Invite them to listen. That may be the first thing, just invite them to listen to the radio program. Invite them to study. If you're not feeling comfortable at this point to conduct a study, there are those in the congregation who would be willing to do that. I'll be willing to do that. But don't refuse to share and to let people know about opportunities that they can have in learning about salvation in Christ. There may be some here this evening who are not Christians. Maybe you're one who's never given your life to Christ. We want to encourage you to accept the invitation of Jesus by coming to Him tonight. Believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, as Jesus commanded. If you've become a Christian, but you've fallen away, maybe you haven't been serving Him as you ought, you haven't been sharing the gospel with others, then repent. Go to God in prayer. Ask Him to forgive you. And God will forgive. He's faithful and just to forgive. And then the repentance means I'm going to change. I'm going to do all I can to share the gospel with others. If If any are subject to this invitation, please come as we stand and sing.